Hey y'all, I'm Hannah Liz, a coastal living, Jesus loving, NC native, and this is the Living Freed podcast, where we discuss intentionally living our lives to the fullest that God has intended, having those late night, open heart, friend combos, not letting others, ourselves, or ideas hold us down, allowing Jesus to free us of the chains that we didn't know we were holding on to. You can see the full show notes attached to this episode. And if you love this episode, please leave me a review. All right, it's time for a weekly catch-up where you get to see a little into my personal life and what's been going on. First, starting with a boy disliking my message. So last summer, I casually dated this guy long distance. He lived in Raleigh. I lived in Wilmington. I just noticed some character traits in him that I didn't appreciate, and I didn't flat out say, like, hey, you were rude to our waitress, and basically, actually didn't even basically say. What he said to me, which was when I was like, this is not going to work, was sometimes you have to make decisions for your partner that even though they say they don't want to go into the next door, you go anyways because you know what's best for them. That just rubbed me the wrong way, y'all. So anyways, I was polite. I sent him a text the next day letting him know I don't really see us moving forward. And if I was ever in Raleigh again, I would let him know and we could catch up and be friends if he's interested. He never responded. This was in August of 2024. Well, I wake up this past Sunday morning, almost a year later, to him disliking my message at 9:30 in the morning. 9:30 in the morning. First off, sir, shouldn't you be in church? Why are you going back in your messages to go dislike something I sent a year ago? Anyways, that was really weird. Didn't appreciate that. Low-key thought I was hallucinating from sleep deprivation, but yeah, anyways, the next thing was later that day, I went on the boat. My guy best friend has a boat. I went on the boat with him and his girlfriend and a group of our other friends, and we had the best time. I was collecting seashells because I'm working on this little art thing that I want to do for my room, and ended up picking up some trash, you know, trying to treat the earth because we love her. We love her a lot and take care of her. And while I'm picking up trash, guess what? Your girl found $5 in the sand. Yep, a real $5 bill. So I took that baby with me and I spent it on some sushi from the grocery store later this week. It was fantastic. But then I got a terrible migraine at dinner with my friends, and my sweet mama, who only lived a mile away, came and picked me up and took me home, and I was in bed by 7:30 and I was out. I was asleep until about 6 a.m. that next day, and I needed it because I haven't had a migraine since before my surgery. It was rough. It was really, really rough. And of course, my friends checked in on me because they're amazing people and human beings, and I've recovered and I'm back better than ever, and not gonna try and let that happen again. But anyways, that's what's happened this week. And what I'm focusing on this week is I really felt it laid on my heart to focus on things that relax me or make me feel renewed. So I spent yesterday and today in the sun at the pool for a couple hours. I read a book that I'm really enjoying. I've spent time with friends. We had Bible study last night because I am recording on a Thursday today. And I'm going to start doing research on like fun, casual things to do, like a summer bucket list, because I loved a summer bucket list as a kid. I love to check it off. So I'm going to try and create like an adult summer bucket list and check something off like once a week. And because we live in Wilmington, our summer kind of gets extended to, I would say, about October-ish. We call it more like local summer, is early October, late September. So I'm about to really, so my plan is to have it work all the way until early October. That's the plan, at least. Oh, and I bought my flight for Iceland, and I'm pumped. I'm so freaking pumped. Iceland happens in July at the end. I'm going with my younger brother. He hates it when I say my little brother. I'm going with my younger brother, and I cannot wait. This has been a bucket list item of mine for years, and I am so pumped. Like, cannot say it enough. I am so, so pumped. 8 days in Iceland, it's going to be magical, and I'm going to come back exhausted. Well, that's all I have for our weekly catch-up, so let's dive in today's episode. Okay, friends, today we're going to talk about modesty. I know, right? Just in time for summer. Anyone who grew up in church isn't new to the word modest, or the cringe phrase, modest is hottest. Ugh, that has always given me the ick. But if you didn't grow up in church or on the rise of purity culture, then this might be a new concept for you. And maybe you're on your faith journey and are trying to figure out how modesty applies to you and your choice of clothing wear. Is it something you pursue and explore? What does it mean to dress modest? Because none of us are out here trying to look like Little House on the Prairie or dress like it in the middle of the summer heat. I find the word modest to be pretty relative to a degree. Common debates in the Christian world are bikinis or short shorts, which P.S. I loved until my frontal lobe developed, and crop tops. For those who grew up in church, we'd go to our Christian summer camps and they'd say to make sure our shorts have to go past our fingertips. Bring a one-piece swimsuit, and if you don't, you'll have to wear a t-shirt over your swimsuit. And if you wore crop tops, some nice group leader would find you and tell you at some point you need to go back and change before the next group event. Now, some people took it farther than that. I will never forget. Like, truly scarred me. Never forget when I wore a sparkly shirt once to a homeschool football game when I was like maybe 12 or 13. And y'all, trust me, let me set this scene because we know I love to set a scene. It's football in North Carolina, beginning of the season. You know it's hot as heck out there. We're sweating. Everybody's sweating. Everyone's homeschooled. It's not that serious. It's not like it's college football. And it's not being held at a church. It's being held in some random field. And all I'm doing is walking around talking with my friends. That's it. I'm not flirting with the boys. I wasn't playing water girl at this point because I think I didn't have to that day, actually. I don't know if any of my cousins were playing football, so I didn't have to be anybody's water girl. I was minding my business, okay? And someone's dad goes up and tells my mom's best friend that I look like a whore. Yep, that's right, friends, because even though my shirt was high-necked and cap-sleeved, it still had sequins all over it, and that made me look like a whore. Oh, and then another time, I was wearing a t-shirt, and someone told me that the words on my t-shirt, let me repeat that for a third time, a t-shirt brought too much attention to my chest and would give boys a reason to look at it. I was 13 when they told me that. And again, that was another grown man. Now, we all hear jokes about our shoulders not showing because it could tempt boys, men in church, and society. Make sure your jeans weren't too tight during the skinny jean era. Don't let anybody see your stomach. Make sure your dress, skirt, or shorts are at an appropriate length. And then some of our moms, you know who you are, would make us go through the test. That's right, the test. I know you girls know what I'm talking about. The ones where you would bend over and make sure your butt isn't hanging out as if you're randomly bending over in church anyways, or to make sure your chest doesn't fall out. They'd have you raise your hands above your head and make sure it wasn't too short or that you didn't have any stomach show, right? Y'all remember that being in the Kohl's or the Target or the Macy's and you're in the middle of the store outside the dressing room trying to make sure that no matter which way you twist, turn, spin, jump, I don't know, do the splits, that you are fully appropriately dressed for whatever may happen. They put a lot of pressure on our small bodies and minds from such a young age. Every man and boy's thought about us that could occur based off of what we wear was our sole responsibility. And then some of us were lucky and we never got taught that, so we never had to go through it. Today, we have changed and shifted our view on modesty and being accountable for men's thoughts because, big shocker, we aren't. Of course, there are some men out there that would like us to carry the weight of their accountability for them because it's easier for them, but most men in the Christian world have woken up and realized that we shouldn't be held accountable for their thoughts that they think in their heads. Personally, I've seen people lately trying to figure out what dressing modest looks like. And I feel like we've had a couple setbacks on this. I mean, Target was selling some elite Little House on the Prairie meets Amish type-ish stuff for a minute there. And I was getting worried. But it also could just be my side of the TikTok and it's a small select few individuals promoting this. I hope that's the case, but also I need off that side of TikTok ASAP. I think a big part of modern modesty is heart placement. Are we dressing for ourselves or for attention? I'm sure we all have seen those memes, skits, and TikToks of us girls letting men know that we don't really dress for them because they would be shocked if they saw what we'd wear when we know it's just the girls that are going to be there. Or the ones that talk about how they dress for the little girls passing by them on the streets because someone has to inspire them. I'm sure there are some women that dress for men's attention, but let's be so for real, that has to be such a small percentage. Or maybe it's just me who dresses for the girls, the vibes, and myself. As Christians, we could draw some hard lines on what's modest and what's not, and as followers of Jesus. Like maybe start with the obvious, don't walk around naked in public. That's not a hard one. Next, let's not wear shirts that's neckline would show the whole titty. I don't really feel like that one would bring honor to Jesus. And maybe, just maybe, we skip out on the bubbled skirt trend. I know, crazy, right? But I think it's pretty obvious why. Let me be clear though. No, absolutely no part of me is saying don't walk around public naked just because it will get you arrested, even though it absolutely will. And I'm not saying to not do it because men will objectify you and that's your fault for walking around with no clothes on, because it's not. They're grown-ups and can cover their own eyes if need be. But as women who love Jesus and want to bring honor to him with her life, why would you want to purposely wear something that wouldn't? The church has made modesty a woman's issue when it's really a heart issue for men and women. From no shoulder showing, short shorts, and midriffs, all of that became a conversation the church felt it had to have when it should have been a conversation of what the Bible means when it talks about being modest. Because trust me, if your shoulder is causing a man to get turned on or stumble in his walk with the Lord so you can't have them out, then no one tell the church about foot fetishes, please, because we will never be allowed to wear sandals or open-toed heels in church again. Ever. Okay, maybe I took that one a little far. When the Bible talks about modesty or clothing, it says to clothe ourselves in humility in 1 Peter, to not adorn ourselves with fine clothing, pearls, braids, etc. for attention in 1 Timothy, but to clothe ourselves with strength and dignity in Proverbs, and then of course the armor of God in Ephesians. And those are just a few verses. Now of course, someone can make the argument that when the Bible is written, that women didn't dress how we do today. But one, neither did men. And two, God is infinite. No beginning, no end, all knowing. You really think he didn't know what our clothes would look like or be in 2025? Baby, he created clothes in the first place with Adam and Eve. Also, side note, the mention of braids in the hair and why not to was because wealthy women would braid their hair to set themselves apart from the rest of society. And the pearls at that time were often used as a metaphor and a representation of wisdom or holiness, like, for example, in Matthew 6:7. But the point was being made that it should come from what's on the inside and not the outside and shouldn't be wasted. Inward beauty and wisdom over outward. The Bible does have some things to say about how we think. We already saw that God wants us to be humble with how we dress. So you could wear a sack of potatoes or shorts and a crop top. If you aren't doing it from a prideful or intentional stumbling block place in your heart, then he doesn't care. What he does care about is that we aren't haughty. We aren't to look at a woman or a person with lustful intent, because then we have committed adultery in our hearts. If your eyes cause you to sin, then pull it out, and to not let sexual immorality, all impurity, or covetousness be among us. That's just to name a few. Now, you might have already heard this research, but I'm going to share it with you anyways just in case. They did a study on male Princeton college students that while their brains were being scanned, they showed them photos of scantily dressed women and the part of the brain that associated with tools lit up, that being hammers, screws, and nails. Also, when seeing sexualized photos of women, they are more likely to associate with first-person action verbs like I grab, I push, and I handle. You can find this whole article on it on National Geographic's website. I find that interesting though, because I mean, how the human brain naturally works is fascinating to me. I don't think it's our female job to change the way men see our bodies, but I also can say I'm not smart enough or know enough about the human brain to say if they can keep that part of their brain from lighting up and associating our bodies as tools when they see us in something as casual as a bikini. The truth is, it doesn't matter what you wear. A man who will objectify your body will do it if you're clothed head to toe or wearing a hot girl Halloween costume. I don't believe that every man that looks at you or I are objectifying our body. I know some really good, solid guys that openly judge other guys and men to their face when hearing them objectify us. They don't jump in on the conversation, add to it, but call it out and tell the guys how weird it is for them to overanalyze our bodies for the way we dress when we're girls and we just want to have fun. Now, do I think that those guys should stand up for us or call other men out? Probably have sisters? Absolutely. And do they probably have older sisters? Also, absolutely. But it's appreciated nonetheless, and it's good to know that they exist. I'm not sure when the church decided to make the male problem into a female problem when it's really just a human problem. We already know modesty is supposed to come from a heart stance and not really a physical clothing stance, but the church took it one step further, like we always do, and we made rules. Rules on what to wear, what we can and cannot show, what is too much and what is not enough. Rules, rules, and more rules. I remember going to my church with my grandparents, and my grandma would lean over and say, "Honey, you look cold," and place her shawl over my legs. Now, it was the middle of summer. I didn't have goosebumps, and my dress hem, when sitting, was touching my knee, but to her, it still wasn't enough. And if I wore a sleeveless dress, you know, like with tank top straps of some kind or spaghetti straps, she was throwing that thing over my shoulder so quick my head could have spun. Ugh, shoulders. Why does it always come back to shoulders? Do we naturally learn these rules as we grow up in church, or did I miss that part in church when they went over the dress code? Dressing modest shouldn't only be applied for church. Your standards should be your standards. But I went ahead and did a little bit of internet research and found a list of rules of what we cannot wear in church because I thought it would be interesting. Some surprised me and some I already knew, but I didn't care to agree with because I am who I am. So 1, no sleeveless tops or dresses. Welp, as y'all know, I broke that rule pretty much my whole life. 2, no deep necklines. If you aren't clear on that, it's really so that no boobies show. 3, no mini skirts. 4, no logos on shirts, designers, sports, and brands. I did not know this one, but I don't think I ever broke it, even though I'm kind of tempted to now. 5, some churches don't approve of women wearing pants, because how dare they have legs, I guess. 6, no heels. Ugh, why don't they just go ahead and send me to church jail? 7, no flip-flops. Now this one, I can get behind. Nothing, and I mean nothing, gives me the ick faster than seeing a man wear flip-flops outside of being at the beach or the pool. Ugh, it just should not happen. It shouldn't be allowed. It should be against the law, not just church modesty rules, the law. And 8, some denominations are against women wearing makeup and fake nails, so I can never go there. What I've learned is if you wear a tank top, straight to jail. Makeup, straight to straight to jail. Caught wearing heels, straight to jail. Nowadays, I'd say most churches are a lot more relaxed. I personally have not been to any churches that strictly enforcing some of these standards since I was in my early 20s. But man, something about the church loves to make up rules and enforce them like it's everyone else's problem too, and that it came straight out of the Bible. I don't know why us girls always had to get the talk to separately from the boys growing up in church about our clothes though. From what I've learned from the boys, they didn't get told, "Okay, now boys, you see the girls in the tank top, crop top, or shorts? Remember, they're human and don't objectify their bodies. Take those thoughts captive and live for Jesus." I mean, maybe they did and they just lied to me about it. But again, I don't know when or where we decided it mattered more how women dress than it mattered to teach men to control their thoughts and hold them accountable. I love clothes. I love lacy clothes, sheer clothes, pants, skirts, dresses, tube tops, halter tops, heels, sneakers, really almost any type of shoe I love. Fashion is my favorite game to play every day. It was so hard and exhausting growing up in church and wondering if my dress was past my knees or did I just get taller? Is my shirt too tight? Is it drawing too much attention to my chest because I was a hella busty girly? I spent so much time trying to hide the fact that I had boobs. I mean, I did not want to make my brothers in Christ stumble because of how I dressed. Thank the Father I'm free from that. I don't give it a second thought to how I dress anymore and how it might cause a man around me to stumble. I'm not running around and see-through braless clothes, but trust, I'm not overthinking it either like I used to. I'm not responsible for them or their thoughts, so they can go pluck their eye out if they need to, like Jesus said. He made it clear that men can have self-control and should. Now that we know men's thoughts are not in our control or our personal problem, I want to know, do you overthink what you wear to church or in your everyday life? Have you felt convicted over clothes? Or do you have peace about what you wear on a daily basis? Look, bestie, I wish it was simple as a yes to this and no to that type of game, but it's not. You have to decide to some degree what modest means to you, and no one can really tell you. Otherwise, you'd end up dressing like you're Amish in the middle of the good old US of A summer heat wave, and none of us need that. Every mom, auntie, grandma, and pastor's wife has an opinion on what you wear and if it's modest for your day-to-day life, but their opinions don't matter. What do you feel about what you wear? It's also a hella hard to not compare or want to compete with the clothes or fashion of the world. I feel it on a daily basis. Being a hairstylist, I want to do it every day, but I also choose to dress for my clientele to some degree. What I wear when someone's grandma is coming in versus what I wear when my college girls come in are two different outfits. One is a mid silk skirt with a nice top. The other is ripped jeans and an oversized t-shirt or corset top. But when I struggle the most with world fashion is when I go to my older brother's birthday parties. I always feel so insecure there because I look at what the other girls are wearing and I think they look so cool. Like for example, he had a PJ themed birthday party. I showed up and what I actually wear to bed, believe it or not, which was PJ shorts and a black crop t-shirt. The other girls, well, some of them, most of them, showed up in lingerie. And trust me, I didn't feel insecure at all about that, but dang, I thought they looked cool, hot, and fun in those outfits. I'd love to be able to wear that out and enjoy it, but one, ew, gross, that's my older brother's birthday party. And two, I knew I wouldn't be honoring myself or my Jesus by wearing that. Like, yeah, I'm hot and look at my tits with pasties on with my see-through outfit, but let me also tell you why I have to leave early to go to bed because I have church in the morning and I serve in kids ministry later. That would not fly over very well for me. But honestly, that's not even the point. I didn't show up in lingerie because I personally would have felt insecure walking around in it with strangers around. Sure, if it was a girls only party and it was a theme, I'd be so down. But I do like to keep some things to myself, and if I had, my heart and mind would have been focused the whole time on if I was hot compared to everyone else, if any guys were looking at me, or was I getting the validation I needed? And then personally, my anxiety would have been crazy about it the next day. I would have second-guessed my intentions the whole next day and would have been trying to validate it to myself. So I dressed in my PJ shorts and t-shirt, and I slept in them that night, and I was very comfy. I knew when I talked about Jesus that night, no one was looking at me confused by what I was wearing and wondering if I was all talk. I know I was honoring my body and my heart by what I was wearing. What you wear isn't always about being modest for men to keep them from quote-unquote stumbling. It's about keeping your heart and mind humble and to keep you from stumbling into pride because we so easily could. But if what you wear doesn't affect you in that way, then that's so amazing and I love that for you. If you feel confident, comfortable, and not for 1 second step into pride, comparison, or seeking validation, then girly, that's fantastic and you do you. Because I have two best friends that are full-on fashion queens. One is so bold with what she wears, and every single time, it's a slay. But honestly, she could pull off anything. Like, literally, she'd make a paper bag look good with how she'd accessorize it. The other studied fashion in NYC and can make any outfit look cool. She just has that cool girl chill energy. You know what I mean? These two are also best friends, and they dress so differently from each other. One is in boyfriend jeans and a giant t-shirt and heels. The other can be in a sheer skirt and a bodysuit, and they don't let comparison or competition step in one bit. They enjoy fashion and each other. It's not about showing off or looking hot. It's about the clothes and the love behind them. And sure, I come in and look at my besties, and every time I think, wow, they are so cool, and I'm so lucky to be friends with them and get inspired by their clothes, and anytime they compliment a piece of my outfit, I'm on a high, and I could definitely let my lack of cool fashion and spo make me feel insecure, but what you wear isn't about that, and it should never be. You have to decide for yourself what dressing modest looks like for you. What it means and how it can or if it will affect your core values or convictions. Also, does the lack of others being modest offend or affect you? If so, why? Because low-key girl, it shouldn't. If you see another girl around not dressed to the bar that you set as modest and get upset about it, well, that's weird. Not all of us carry the same standards or convictions, especially when it comes to clothes. There is the one line we already said and agreed on, which was don't walk around naked in public. Or in a wet white t-shirt, but what about what we wear to the gym, the pool, and the beach? When you go to grab coffee with friends, or maybe the bars? What you wear to the event that you're wearing it to will change where the line in the sand is, and your line isn't other people's lines.
I was on the phone with my friend Hannah the other day. We were talking about honestly this subject because she is a big gym girly. We were talking about modesty, what that looks like in our lives, how that shows up, and what we buy. She used the example of a maxi dress she just bought. Now, again, Hannah is super fit. She has a big booty that she has worked hard for. She said if you saw the dress on a hanger, you'd say, sure, the dress is modest. If you put it on a girl that didn't have a lot of asset, for lack of a better word, then you'd say it's modest. But if you put it on a curvy girl like me or saw it on Hannah, you would change your mind pretty quickly. Modesty isn't a one size fits all, and it can't be. I asked my social media their take on modesty, just on the girls. 100% of the girls said it's a heart and mind position. One of them wrote in and said she chooses to be modest to honor her future husband, which is also something one of my friends has told me. Another one said she was motivated by her submission and love for God. And for me, personally, it's to keep my heart in check. We are all motivated by different reasons. Therefore, modesty is going to look a little different for each of us. The Bible makes it clear that to be modest is to be humble in spirit, to not dress for attention on ourselves in a way that would intentionally or unintentionally take it away from Jesus. Not just in church, but in our day-to-day life, because our body is a temple. What we are to wear is the seven pieces of armor of God, being the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. And prayer maybe as our favorite accessory. Speaking of prayer, please join me as I close us out in it. Father, thank you so much for our heart for you. Thank you for the intention and the desire to want to dress how you have us to. That our mindset and our heart is to bring honor and glory to you with our bodies and what we're wearing. That we aren't drawing attention to ourselves, but we are bringing and drawing attention to you with what we wear and how we act in public. I ask that we feel encouraged by it today, that whoever is listening to this feels inspired by it today, that she was brought some clarity through this today on what you're asking her to do. If someone is listening to this and they've had a new conviction of how to dress, or they've had church hurt and are resistant to dressing modest, that maybe they have a new outlook on what dressing modest looks like for them, and that it isn't a one-size-fits-all, and you never asked us to be a one-size-fits-all. Thank you so much for this opportunity to speak over this subject, and I ask that we feel encouraged and brought closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, that's all. Thank you so much for listening to the Living Freed podcast. You can connect with me on Instagram at HannahLizD or email me at livingfreedpod@gmail.com. If you're loving the podcast, I'd be so honored if you'd go ahead and hit that subscribe button and leave me a review. And if you have feedback or a subject you'd like me to cover, please email or DM me on Instagram. Again, thank you so much for listening. I hope you feel encouraged and lighter today. Bye, y'all. Bye.